Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers back with another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. Right off the top, I want to tell you guys, I don't think that this episode will get into the hour-long time frame like some of our recent ones have when we've had so much news to cover with Kansas athletics. However, we're going to focus on a topic and that has drastically impacted both Kansas football and Kansas men's basketball in a way that none of us have ever seen before. That is the transfer portal. I'm really excited to dig into this one. I'm going to bring in first our man, Shea Wildebor, on the basketball beat. Shea, how you doing this morning?
I'm surviving, man, one day at a time, right?
Absolutely. That's all we can do right now. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm so excited that the world seems to be gradually opening back up. I mean, the Royals game was packed the other night, seeing tons of people out at Sporting, just seeing people around. It's nice. It really is.
We're getting back to a little bit of normalcy.
It's funny to say normal when we're about to talk about maybe the most impactful change to college athletics in the last 30 years. When we're talking about the transfer portal, I'm sure you've got a lot that you're excited to touch on with this.
Yeah, man, it's been a wild, wild ride, man. KU lost about half its team to the portal and recouped a few guys back. So it's in my mind, it's completely out of control, but I have no power over that, man. I just got to sit back and watch it all unfold and see what happens. But it's, I don't know, man. It's crazy how kids can just come and go and play and come and go. I mean, KU's got one guy on the roster that's been at, what, four or five different schools, and he's about my age. So, yeah, it's a wild ride, man. You better hold on tight and not let go.
Speaking of guys sitting back and watching things unfold, let me welcome in our man, our publisher, Mr. John Kirby, the man on the Kansas football beat. John, how are you?
I'm doing well, boys. Hey, Randy, you said something about normalcy. Man, I'm just ready. I'm glad to see some normal weather back around here. You know, some 80s and sun. I didn't think the sun shone in Kansas City for about, you know, a year.
Yes. I mean, we had like four straight weeks of rain, and it was like out in Seattle or Portland, and all of a sudden, yeah, we're high 80s, and it is a nice change. It finally feels like summer might be going to get here this year.
We need some more rain on my lawn.
Dang, you had enough.
I'm not like Curb Dog. I don't have one of those systems where you punch in a few buttons and those things pop out and start spewing water.
You had enough rain, man. You don't need any more rain.
Well, I need somebody to come mow my yard. That was the biggest thing, is every weekend it would rain and I never had time to mow it during the week. I mean, mine I've got to knock it down before I can even cut it. It is at least knee high right now. And my wife is really, really tired of it. She's like, you know, hey, what do I need to do about getting the grass cut? Cause you're obviously not going to get to it. And I said, well, I've got to record a podcast. I can't cut the grass today.
Hey, Shay.
That wouldn't fly in my neighborhood, bro. Them HOA notes, they'd be flying out the door, baby.
Hey, Shay, it looks like Randy's going to be cutting the grass after this podcast.
He better. If you lived in my neighborhood or Kirby's, that HOA business, boy, they'd be down your throat. They'd be there with stakes and all kinds of trouble.
I'm going to finally get it taken care of today, hopefully. Let's take care of this talk that we're going to have about the transfer portal. And I know that this is just been just fascinating. Obviously, it's unprecedented, but just watching the way it's unfolded has been even maybe more unpredictable than any of us ever expected. You know, we talk about things changing and trying to get back to normalcy. If there's ever been anything that has disrupted normalcy in the way that the transfer portal has, I can't even think of it right now. I've never seen anything like this. You know, one of the things that I keep throwing out on Twitter is somebody that's heavily involved in the high school football community here in Kansas City and talks with a lot of coaches in Kansas and Missouri is the fact that so many guys are entering the portal. There are so many names in the portal, and there are nowhere near enough opportunities. There are no it's like I can't even think of the name of the game. There aren't going to be enough seats when the music stops.
Musical chairs.
Musical chairs. There we go. Good Lord. I couldn't
come
think of
on, Randy.
that's exactly what it's going to be, though, especially in football. I mean, there are so many guys sitting in the portal, and there aren't enough scholarships to go around. There aren't enough roster spots to go around. And
if you guys been following this, and Randy and John, you guys are more apt than I am, but this one has got me. I'm hooked. The tight end from LSU. What is it? Arik Gilbert. He ended up at LSU and then transferred. And then was going to go back to LSU, decided not to go back to LSU, and now he's just landed at I think, Georgia. And it's like, dude, how many times can these guys flip in and out of the system? And that's just a small example. I mean, this kid, and we'll discuss more later, this Jalen Coleman Lands, I mean, he started out at Illinois and then went to DePaul and then went to Iowa State and then now he's at Kansas. And I'm like, dude, how many times can a kid enter the portal or transfer out and be eligible to play right away? I remember back when Luke Axtell transferred from Texas, I think he had to sit out a year and he lost a year.
Oh, yeah.
And now these guys are just like the one guy that was at Georgia is now going to Kentucky to play basketball. And he didn't have to sit out a year. There's no – I mean, same conference, whatever, same division, and it's like – come on, let's go. And I'm like, dude, when does it end?
Well, Shay, that's
how do you slow it down?
That's what changed it all, right? The whole, when they announced you didn't lose a year and they basically gave everybody one free transfer, that made it the wild, wild west. That's when things went open because, you know, everybody went, hey, I can go right down the street. I mean, think about it. You could go from KU to K-State and play right away. Mm-hmm. The kid's name is escaping me right now. There was a walk-on at KU. He just left KU and went to K-State to go play football. So, I mean, that one-year, free one-year rule has changed the whole game. You could always transfer, right? So guys could always do that, but the fact they can do it now and get right out. And I'll tell you the one other thing, Randy, you talked about it. When you say you talk with high school coaches, the NCAA is really coming in and trying to get a thumb on this whole tampering thing. Because when you see kids enter the portal on a Thursday and announce on a Sunday where they're going to school, you know that, you know, things were going on behind the scenes. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's smart because I would tell any kid, don't enter the transfer portal unless two things. Number one, you're big time and you know you're going to have 5 to 10 offers in the first day or two when you enter. Or number two, you better have your future home pretty much in line before you enter that portal. Because what's happened is a lot of these kids have jumped in that portal and they didn't have their ducks in a row and now they don't have a home.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And for me, too, and here's the thing with, for instance, let's just say Coach Self or Coach Calipari, you know, they basically had a one-year tryout with some of these kids. And if things didn't go well, I mean, I'm not saying they booted anybody out, but they were okay with guys. I mean, you look at KU, you had Jethro and you had Latrell Josel and Bryce Thompson decided it wasn't a good fit and, Tristan Inaruna. So it was almost like kind of like a one-year tryout as well. And if things didn't go well, you could, mutually part ways, and which is what KU did. And, Self, to his credit, has really upgraded this roster. And I know we'll get into that soon, but it's for coaches, there's good and there's bad. But I'll tell you what, KU on the basketball side took full advantage of this rule, and I think it's going to pay big dividends when the season kicks off here in a few months.
You know, Shay, I've tried to keep up with the basketball as much as I could and who's coming and going. But you know, it's funny when you cover Kansas, and I've talked with a lot of the fans and people about this, just the different spectrums that basketball and football are on. Right when you cover KU, and you know, Bill Self, he can go out and get about anybody. I know that's a little not accurate, but when there's a top transfer, Kansas is always going to be on the radar with Self and, you know, the history and the tradition. Whereas Kansas football, you know, you look at Leipold, he went out and, you know, he got guys he was familiar with. That was probably his best route to get transfers. But it's just funny because, like, they're on two different levels just with the way how they can handle it. And, you know, Kansas football, you know, they come in and they can get these kids like Marcus Harris and they can develop them. And then once these kids develop into SEC players, they can just bolt now. So, you know, I think in a way it puts KU at a disadvantage sometimes in football because a lot of times the good kids, they stick around KU basketball. But in football, you know, they might look at what other options out there, like getting closer to home or playing in a conference is closer to home. But, yeah, it's been a wild thing to follow.
For sure.
You know, it's just been – I mean, it reminds me of – when unfettered free agency really kind of started in the NFL, and I was young, like I still remember being a Chiefs fan in the 90s and listening to talk about the Chiefs and Carl Peterson specifically making use of Plan B free agency. And those were guys that weren't necessarily the top tier guys. You know, they weren't your all pro players, but they were players that were able to get access to the open market and look for better opportunities, more money, more playing time, whatever it might be. I still remember, you know, one of the best Plan B free agency signings ever was Dan Salamua when the Chiefs brought him to Kansas City. And this is so far beyond that in the fact that you have even top tier players in some cases. I mean, as KU has demonstrated specifically on the basketball side, Shay, they have taken players from, in some cases, lower division programs, taken their best player, maybe one of the best players at that level, and added them to what was already one of the most talented rosters, one of the most talent-rich programs in the country. You know, it literally has become a situation where I don't know if there's anything that's going to stop it from being the rich getting richer, specifically in football. I don't know if there's anything that's going to stop that. You know, basketball, it's different. You have smaller rosters. You know, one player can change the entire outlook of a season and a potential postseason run and a tournament berth and all those kind of things. Whereas in football, it's just such a different paradigm. And I mean, John, you've been covering football for in this region really as long as anybody. And when you look back, I mean, is there anything even comparable? I mean, what are we, is there anything even comparable? And that's really kind of a dumb question. I guess the better question would be, is this sustainable? Do you think there's any way that a program like Kansas can tread water or improve themselves? Or are they constantly going to be in situations where they're developing players like Dejon Terry and Marcus Harris and watching them move on to better places?
Yeah, Randy, I don't know if I know the answer to that. You know, I'll have to figure out, you know, I think Leipold and the staff, they'll do a great job of developing relationships. And, you know, you kind of make it want to feel like a home to where kids don't leave, you know, and, you know, if you're recruiting local kids, which I know the plan will to be, and, you know, maybe that helps you because, you know, if you look at it, local kids are less likely to transfer than somebody who's trying to get back to an area or a conference area or near home. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they handle it and also how long this transfer rule and the effects of COVID keep playing into the decisions of the NCAA.
Mm-hmm. Good point. And that's the thing. I mean, even though we talked earlier about how the world is kind of opening up, we're still very much dealing with COVID, dealing with the ramifications of the last 16, 18 months and a pandemic that is still raging around the world, even though we're close to getting 50% vaccinated here in the United States. I mean, this is still an ongoing situation, and yeah, it's not going away. And I can't remember who it was. Somebody used they compared it to when you toss a pebble into a pond. The ripples continue long after the initial impact. And I think we're going to be feeling the ripples and the side effects of this for quite a long time. Let's get into some basketball specific stuff. Shay, you know, we've talked about the changes to the men's basketball program. You know, this roster is completely different, almost top to bottom. You know, the last piece of news was about Remy Martin. Talk about his game and what he brings to the Kansas Jayhawks.
Yeah, Remy Martin and I think Jalen Coleman lands. But yeah, Remy is an all Pac-12 first team performer, averaged close to 20 points a game last year. Came into Allen Fieldhouse as a freshman and put on an absolute clinic and defeated the Jayhawks. And then the Jayhawks went back out there and he got the best of them again. I mean, listen, this guy, and I'm of the opinion, and based off what I've heard, that he'll bypass the draft and end up in Lawrence. And if that happens, I think KU becomes legitimately a top three team. You know, he's got experience. He can get to the basket. He can score from beyond the arc. And he's just got that winning mentality, that attitude. And I remember one of his interviews, he told me that he almost wishes that he would get that, you know, the NBA wouldn't work this year simply because he wants the opportunity to play at Kansas. I mean, this is a guy, and I don't want to look too far ahead, but, you know, you throw in a Remy Martin and you throw in a Joseph Yusefu, the transfer from Drake in the starting backcourt. And I mean, wow. I mean, it's a complete, what went from what I would say is a weakness last year, and no disrespect to Marcus Gaither, those guys, but I mean, you compare it to what could be this year, and it's just, it's night and day, man. I mean, you get a guy like Remy, and you are an immediate contender. You completely address a position that was a weakness, and you bring in one of college basketball's, without question, top point guards. So it's huge. I mean, if there's one guy that you point to that's currently testing the waters at Kansas, if you're only going to get one back, and I think they'll get more than one, but if you only get one, Remy's the one you want. No doubt about it.
It's just unbelievable for a program like Kansas to be able to add a player of that caliber, and specifically somebody that they have seen up close on several occasions that has gotten the best of the Jayhawks, and to be able to add it, it's like I say, it's so reminiscent to me of NFL free agency. You know, we talk about the roster, though, and the last pieces that we're waiting on at this point are Jalen Wilson and Ochai Agbaji. What's your gut? What do you feel like the situations for each respective player are going to be, and where are they going to end up?
Yeah, I think Remy will be back. I think Remy will make his final appearance in Lawrence. I think Jalen will come back. You know, I think when Sidney Curry and Kansas decided to part ways last week or 10 days ago, I think that kind of opened the door for Ochai. My feeling is that Ochai wants to stay in the draft, but I also think that he's going to be smart about this. Right now, I'd probably say it's 50-50. You know, but you really, if you look at the draft boards, and I need to go look at them again this week, there's no mention of Remy. There's no mention of Jalen. And last I saw, I don't think Ochai's getting a lot of run in the late second round either. So, and I'll have to go back and look. But I think the smart move is, especially for Ochai, to come back and be one of the faces of, you know, a team that could potentially rank number one and wins all time by the middle of his senior year. So, yeah, I think it would benefit him, and I think he knows that. I do. I think going into this that he had maybe his heart set on, you know, making this move. But, again, with the Sidney Curry news last week, I'm just of the opinion that I think at the end of the day all three will be back. You know, I don't know that for sure, and it wouldn't surprise me if Oach decided to stay in, but to me, the writing is on the wall, and I think they'll all come back and, you know, make a run at that mythical national championship.
With that in mind, it sounds like things are close to being settled, really, with this roster as we head into this next season. I want to get your overall take on where you think they are as a team, top to bottom, and how do you feel about this squad as they head into the summer?
Oh, I love the squad. I mean, I can't remember the last time I felt this good about a squad was probably 2 years ago when COVID first hit, and you know, Kansas was going in the tournament as the prohibitive favorite. You know, I love the backcourt. And here's the thing. I think last year when Kansas got, and I'm going to say this as it is, pounded by USC in the tournament, Coach Self knew changes need to be made. You know, he needed some guys in the backcourt. He needed to add some length, some athleticism. You know, I love Remy at the point. I love Joseph Yusefu. You know, you got Christian Brown who can hit shots. You've got Jalen Wilson and Ochai who can hit shots. And then you got some unknown guys like, you know, Bobby Pettiford. who's in town now. You know, you got DeJuan Harris off the bench. You got Kyle Cubb Jr., who reclassified up. You know, Zach Clemens, a 6'9", 6'10 guy that can stretch the floor, the type of guy that Kansas has had so much trouble defending in the past. You know, you got a K.J. Adams and a Cam Martin. And I know a lot of people aren't that impressed with Cam. I think, you know, I'm excited about him. I know, obviously, he comes from a small school, and, you know, he played under Jeff Boshi, and a lot of people don't know what to expect. But I think, to me, he's just a guy that has the look of, you know, a guy that's going to come in and do whatever it takes. You know, you've got obviously, I expect David McCormick to be in the lineup. You know, Mitch Lightfoot is back again for like his eighth or ninth season. and then, you got Jalen Coleman Lands, a guy that's, you know, averaged 14 points last year at Iowa State. He's a guy, obviously, with some experience. I think he's 25 years old. Experience, not only that, but he can hit shots. And anytime you got a guy that can space the or spread the defense out and hit shots, you know, that's a good thing. So I mean, I love this team. I do. I think that there's a blend of experience, you know, talent. You've got some youth. You got some guys that have never been there before, so they don't know. And I just think when it all comes together, with the staff itself has and with self leading the way, I just think there's a chance to really have, assuming things play out as they should with the guys in the NBA now testing, if what I expect happens, I think they've got a chance to have a really special year.
Okay, put you on the spot. Give me your starting five, and who do you expect are the first two off the bench when we get the season started?
Goodness, no. Oh, goodness. I mean, you got Oach back. He's going to start if he comes back. You got David McCormick, I think, is going to start. So that's two. Obviously, Remy Martin, he's a shoe-in, I think. That's three. Goodness. I mean, I'm going to go with probably, I guess, maybe Joseph Yusefu. Is that four? And then maybe like a Jalen Wilson. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Jalen Wilson. But then you got Christian Brown, who, I mean, I'll just say this. I would expect Yusefu, Brown, McCormick, Remy, Jalen, and Ochai to be the guys right away that play the most impactful minutes. And then, you know, what happens after that is, you know, icing on the cake. I mean, DeJuan Harris made drastic improvements last year. You know, I think Cam Martin, again, is going to be a guy. You know, Mitch obviously knows the system's been around. You know, Jalen Coleman Lands is a guy, like I said, that can hit shots. I, for the first time, I can say I don't know. I'll go with the seven guys I mentioned, but I mean, what about Zach Clemens? I mean, what if he comes in and pops off, or KJ Adams, or you know, I guess this is why Self gets paid the big bucks, because he's going to have an extremely difficult time. You know, putting together a top eight or nine, because the numbers exceed that. So I'll stick with those seven or eight, and we can meet up again in a few months. And we'll meet up again before then, but as a closer season, and see how it all plays out.
That's our man Shea Wildebor on the basketball beat. Shea, thanks for joining us this morning. Have a good one.
All right, you too, guys. Take care.
Now we're going to shift on over to football. Get back to John Kirby. And John, you know, last weekend was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in covering college football recruiting. And it was like there was a new update. There were headlines seemingly every hour on the hour hitting the slant about a new transfer coming to the Kansas Jayhawks from Buffalo in most cases. What are your thoughts overall on that, and the philosophy of taking transfers, and what do you think about this group of new players that Lance Leipold has added to the roster?
Randy, this is, you know, I've been asked this question a lot, and I've even had some, you know, I've had a few naysayers here and there saying, oh, I don't know if I like this. First of all, there is no manual, okay? There is no book written on how you do this, okay? They just put this rule into effect in the last year. So we're seeing things change all the time with how this portal is going to work. So what we saw last weekend with Kansas, I don't think that's ever been done before, right? I don't know if a coach has left and taken a new job and had a lot of players want to follow him. You know, there's a few things that stand out, and I don't think on the message board when I've written this out, I don't know if I can make myself as clear with words and typing as I can by saying it. But this is incredibly important because they know the players coming. I can't stress that enough. People don't understand. You know, in recruiting, Randy, and people who are fans of schools, you follow everything by a star system, or you follow, you know, you try to watch their huddle film, or you try to look at a name on a computer screen. This is different. Okay, this is different because these coaches from Buffalo, they know these players. They know their work ethic. They know what kind of teammate they are. They know what they're going to give them. They know what they can develop into. What Kansas just did with at least 6 of the 7 transfers, they just went the safest route you could possibly take in the game of recruiting. Okay, because when you take a transfer that has never played for you, or you even sign a recruit, you don't know what that kid's going to be like till you get him on campus, okay?
Very true.
He could come in, be a highly recruited kid, not work. He could come in, not have a great attitude. He could come in and really struggle going to school and keeping his academics in line. He could come in, he could not be a good teammate. There is a lot that can play out with recruits. And I'm giving the negatives. There's a lot of positives that come with that too. But there's one thing that this did that's different than anything else, and that's the fact they know what they're getting with the kids from Buffalo. They know they're going to come in. They know they're going to understand what Matt Gildersleeve wants in the strength and conditioning. They know what their specific position coach, if they played for him at Buffalo. They know what the coordinators are going to ask of them. They know about the culture. So this is so different than anything we've seen, and I am more of a fan of this than taking any other recruit or any other player, because these guys know what they are going to get. Now, listen, are all of them going to be starters? Probably not. Are they all going to contribute? Absolutely. You know, in the group just this year, you might have 3 or 4 starters, but it goes beyond being a starter, and it goes beyond some of those things. It goes into what are they like off the field. When they're in the weight room, you know, they can, you know, hey, Coach Gildersleeve, he doesn't like that. He really likes this, you know. And these are good kids. I talked to them. I've asked other people about them. These guys were good fits from Buffalo who this staff felt would come in and help change the culture. So when you really look at the keys in this and the biggest factors, it's not was a kid All-MAC, or was he second team All-MAC, or is he an NFL prospect? This staff came in, they got in May. I mean, come on, let's face it. How many staffs come in and take over a program in the month of May? So you've got to speed things up. I mean, you know, these guys are still working on install. They're still working on their recruiting territories. They're behind. So when you bring in kids like this, it's going to help them make the transition quicker because they know what to understand and they know what the expectations are under Leipold and the staff.
There are a lot of people that have asked, what about the roster numbers? Is that a concern?
No, because Randy, in this day and age, there's going to be a lot of things still go on with COVID, in my opinion. All right. And one of those things coming down is going to be how schools are handled giving scholarships going forward. You know, there's a lot of talk that the NCAA could come in and say, hey, we're getting rid of this whole initial rule. You get to 85 scholarships. You have X amount of spots. You go get them. If you lose 5 players to the portal, 2 leave the program, and you were going to have 9 open scholarships, that leaves you, you know, on who graduates, 16 scholarships. They're going to say, just go sign 16 guys. It's not going to be, well, you only had 8 initials, so you can only sign 8. You know, there's a chance now that rule is going to change. And you know, if it does, I think that helps out a lot. There's a lot, as we've seen at KU, some good, some bad. You can get very creative in how you bring players in. And I think that's what's going on right now. So I think in the long run, we really don't know as we sit right now how this is going to affect the total numbers. But I can tell you, with guys like David Reed at compliance, he's incredibly good at what he does. There's a plan in place. They didn't just do this and come in with these transfers and come out of this in thin air without a plan. I mean, the one thing I know with Leipold and guys like David Reed who've been around, who helps a lot with that, and that staff, there's nothing that's not calculated. Okay, they just didn't come out and find these six or seven transfers out of nowhere and just assume it will all work out. They know what's going on.
We've talked about them almost as just a group of players. I'm going to give you the opportunity to kind of open it up. Give me a rundown on each of the guys, each of the new additions that Coach Leipold and his staff have brought in, and tell us what we ought to know about each one of them.
Yeah, Randy, I'll start on the defensive side. There's Eddie Wilson. He's a 300-pound D lineman. You know, he was, I think it was third-team All-MAC, but, you know, he'll definitely give, you know, compete for a starting spot. You know, he had Florida, Indiana, Texas Tech. I know there were some other schools that reached out. He had some offers. He had chances to go other places. You know, he's a big kid. And then right next to him is Ron McGee, who's another defensive lineman. You know, and whether he'll start, I don't know, but he'll definitely help with snaps and in the rotation. And like you said, after losing Harris and Terry, now all of a sudden you were going into the season going, hey, the Kansas D-line's pretty deep. Well, now you lose those two kids, and you're thinking, all right, all of a sudden it's not so deep. Guys like Wilson and McGee change that. They bring that depth back and kids who've played some college football, and I'm really excited about Wilson. I think he can be a guy. Linebacker, Rich Miller, he was an all-state linebacker coming out of high school in Michigan. You know, he was stuck behind three starting linebackers at Buffalo. He was like the fourth guy in the rotation, and all three starters return at Buffalo. They have a pretty good linebacking crew there. I can tell you, there's some other guys I've watched at Buffalo I would definitely take in that linebacker group. You know, he's also played some special teams, so he can come in and contribute. Great attitude guy. You know, I loved about him. I talked to him, and I asked him, I ask all the recruits this. I say, hey, you know, when I get ready to write your story, you know, is there a time you want this to go out? Are you going to, you know, you're going to post it on social media? Because you never want to steal their thunder, right? You want them to have the day.
Of course not.
And this guy goes, hey, man, I'm just coming to Kansas to play football. He goes, I don't even know if I'm going to tweet anything or play with the social media. He goes, that's not why I'm coming here. He goes, I'm coming here to play football and help, you know, help this staff and be a good teammate. And I was like, man, I like this kid. You know, just what he was saying, I was like, you know,
refreshing is what that is.
Yeah, those are the attitudes that you need. Moving over to offense, you got Trevor Wilson, a wide receiver. And somebody told me, you know, he's faster than fast. He will probably be the fastest or second fastest wide receiver on the roster, you know, outside of Jamal Horn, you know, who really hasn't factored much on the playing field. You know, Wilson's an interesting story. His dad played in the NFL, his uncle played in the NFL, and he's got a younger brother who's a 2023 recruit that Kansas just offered down in Florida. So that one will be interesting to watch. And then we move to the offensive line where I think, you know, there's good help. Good help is definitely on the way here. Michael Ford, he was going to be the starting right tackle at Buffalo this year. He came out of spring football as a starting right tackle. He's a freshman, so he's got 4 years to play. So, you know, that's a big plus there. You know, and then Mike Nowitzki, who I think all the fans were probably the most excited about. You know, he's an all-MAC center. I think Pro Football Focus had him rated as like the fourth center in the country. So, you know, he's a guy that is an immediate impact guy. Ford, you know, will have some competition, but he'll raise the bar in that position room. And then Zion DeBose, he was a defensive end from Virginia Tech, explosive kid coming out of high school. He got hurt. You know, I don't know what his, you know, if he's still got that same explosion. I posted some video on the message board where you could see his first few steps off the line. I mean, man, he was explosive. Talked to him for quite a while. Great kid. He's really looking forward to getting to Kansas. He was committed to Buffalo from Virginia Tech. And then when Leipold and the staff left, he just said, hey, these are the guys I want to follow right here, and I want to go play Big 12 football. So, and one other thing, Randy, you know, he's really a 4-3 defensive end. And when you look at the scheme, I know there's been a lot of talk about switching from the 3-4 to the 4-3. He is a true 4-3 defensive end, so he will give you, you know, some depth there. Because when you look at KU's DNs right now, you're trying to figure out, like, who really is a 4-3 DN, because you haven't really seen him play 4-3. So, you know, he gives you a new body to get in there and compete.
You know, John, you've said it would be crazy in June, and it actually got crazy just a few days before the calendar actually flipped to the 6 months of the year. What do you see coming in the next 4 weeks, and what should fans be looking for?
Well, as we record this podcast, you know, you've got three official visitors on campus. You know, they changed that calendar a couple years ago and started letting recruits get out early. So their guys are doing that in June. And then obviously coming off COVID, everybody's just been chomping at the bit to get out and start taking visits and seeing schools. You know, nobody's had the chance to do that. It's crazy to think that the KU football posted something on Twitter yesterday, and it was a picture of all the newcomers, right? And I'm, you know, it's weird to think, Randy, that a lot of those players are seeing Kansas, seeing Lawrence for the first time. I mean, coming.
That's amazing. I saw that and thought the exact same thing. I cannot imagine having, as somebody that went to college, at least initially, to be a student, and have never visited campus, have never been on. I mean, I can't even fathom that, let alone as a student athlete. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, so they've got the visitors, and Jalen Peoples is a corner from Texas. He's going to probably announce, you know, early July, late June. He's still got some other visits. I think his visit's going good to Kansas right now, but it's going to take some time to figure out what he's doing. Anthony Davis is another corner from Texas. Emmett Jones has been on both of those, and then Chevis Jackson, since he coaches the corners, he's gotten involved. It's hard to tell on Davis as well. He'll probably have some other options. And then Taufik Thomas, a defensive lineman from Florida. You know, Quan Drake's done a nice job with him. I think he's going to visit Iowa State next weekend. So, you know, the official visits are up and running. I mean, you know, Lance Leipold and these guys, they didn't get a chance to come in for very long before they're going to get out on the official visits and getting them in. And you know what, Randy? It's a pretty good thing that they're doing this, and I'll tell you why. When there's a new staff and turnover, everybody has different ideas on how you're going to do official visits. You know, where do you seat the kids on the visit? Where do you go eat? What do you do for breakfast? What do you do for lunch? When do you do the tours? I mean, it's amazing. Hey, listen, I'm a professional at this because Kansas has changed coaches so many times. I've heard from guys on staffs when they come in talk about, well, we're going to change this on our official visit, or we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to go eat here. We're not going to eat at this one place anymore. And you know, we're going to have kids meet with the position coaches on Sunday and then the head coach. I mean, there is a lot that changes. So it's good that they're doing this right now. And I don't want to say working the kinks out, but this gives the staff a chance to have a small group of kids in, three recruits, go through their official visit weekend. You know, when do you talk to Gildersleeve? When do you talk to the nutritionist? When do you talk to the academic people? They're going to be able to lay this all out and kind of go through a trial run. So as time goes along here and they have more official visitors, as a staff, they can figure out what works for them and what they liked, what they didn't. So, you know, I think it's good that they've got three guys in and kind of test those waters right now. You know, then we got summer camps coming up. I've been hearing from some local recruits that maybe later this month look for a barbecue type deal where there could be several recruits, mainly on the local side from what I'm gathering, that come in for like a one day, like a barbecue event where they just bring, you know, families and recruits in and, mm-hmm. and they bring in barbecue, maybe hang around a pool.
A lot of programs do these in other parts of the country.
Yeah, so I'm starting to, you know, Dominic Orange mentioned something to me about it. I've had a couple other guys say something, so I have a feeling something like that's in the works. We haven't got into that much, but I'll keep an eye on that. And then, you know, just in the month of June, you and I have talked about this, just keeping an eye on the local side and how they're doing, because that's something that they really want to focus on. You know, they're still also trying to figure out and get the inside recruiting staff and scouting department hired. I expect next week we're going to hear kind of where that's going officially. So, you know, the local side has become a big deal. There's been a lot said of it. I know Schoonover and some of the coaches are doing Zooms with the local coaches. I've seen a couple coaches on Twitter thank the staff for doing what they're doing and allowing a coaching session to go on during the summer via Zoom. And So, you know, speaking of locally, you know, I think Kansas is going to have at least five guys recruiting the area, which is a lot. I mean, that's more than a lot of recent staffs have had. You know, Schoonover is going to be there. Scott Fuchs, the offensive line coach. Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator, Zabrowski, the quarterback's coach, and then Brian Borland, the DC. I've kind of heard that all five of those guys will have some type of responsibility locally. So, you know, June's going to be a fun month. I mean, we still got three weekends left, and you know, maybe they can slide a commitment out. I don't know who that's going to be, but it will definitely be interesting to watch how the camps go. You know, they got started late on the camps. Maybe who shows up to that, and then keeping an eye on this barbecue that could happen.
You know, when we first started this podcast, we were talking about, you know, how the world was kind of getting back to normalcy, and I know for you and you've, as somebody that's covered this program for as long as you have, it seems like normalcy with Kansas football has been about change. And we've had a ton of that just over the last few weeks. In the summer, it's going to continue. It's going to be extremely interesting to follow all this. And if there's ever been a time that you've thought about joining and subscribing to JayhawkSlant.com, this is that time. With everything that is going on, all the continued roster flux with the Kansas men's basketball program, the introduction of Lance Leipold's new staff on the football side as they continue to get to know the roster and maybe continue to make other additions over the next several weeks as the transfer portal continues to rage on, there is no better time to become a subscriber to the place on the internet for Kansas athletics fans, JayhawkSlant.com. Sign up, join us. If you're a Kansas fan and you've been listening to the podcast for a while now, we thank you. Tell your friends in Jayhawk Nation that maybe haven't started listening yet. Tell them about it. Send them a link. Have them start listening. The more, the merrier. We want to be able to get the word out and talk with more Kansas fans and share the insight that comes from the best in the business, guys like Shea Wildebor on the men's basketball side and John Kirby on the football beat. For Shay and John, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.